This is Matt Wells at UN News. Well, it can be hard for a national leader to get noticed at the General Assembly High Level Week taking place at UN headquarters in New York. This wasn't a problem for New Zealand Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern, who made global headlines as the first world leader to bring a baby with them to New York for the occasion. Speaking to UN social media's Charlotte Scadden in the VIP social media zone, Ms. Ardern described what her government is doing to tackle some of the big global challenges, from gender equality to climate change to migration. Charlotte started by asking her what she hoped to achieve by coming to the General Assembly.
There are always some domestic issues that we like to pursue. We're a trading nation. We've got a particular focus on building a progressive trade agenda at the moment, so using my bilaterals with other leaders to talk about that. But when it comes to the message that I was sending, at least through our national statement yesterday to the General Assembly, it was very much focused on building multilateralism, recommitting to multilateralism, the importance of having a strengthened United Nations, particularly as we tackle generational issues, as we tackle issues like climate change, and as we tackle issues like gender inequality.
Yeah. So I wanted to pick up on the importance of multilateralism. A lot of people out there are seeing the world as increasingly polarized, divided. In his address to the General Assembly, Secretary General Antonio Guterres said that there's a trust deficit disorder. But he also struck an optimistic note, saying that we will never give up, and we're all here at the UN because we believe.
Yes.
Do you share that optimism?
I absolutely share that optimism. And not just because I'm an optimistic person, but because actually it's a necessity that we recommit. We are so interconnected. There are so many interdependencies. And when you think about the major challenges that we have, disease, terrorism, climate change, all of those issues, the most powerful are powerless unless we unite together in the way that we tackle them. You know, there is a trust deficit issue, though, I think. And I think we do have to acknowledge we went through a rapid period of change. Globalization has changed everything, and it's left a sense of insecurity. We can remedy that, though. Much of that comes down to us at a domestic level. We shouldn't be placing blame on international institutions.
Yeah, absolutely. Some of this polarization is fed by misconceptions about certain issues, including the issue of refugees and migrants. In July of this year, 192 countries agreed to a global compact on migration. What is New Zealand doing to protect the rights of migrants and refugees?
And we actually, not long before I came over for this meeting, just confirmed that we would be lifting our refugee quota in New Zealand. For about 30 years, it stayed in exactly the same place, that number. We had a small increase just this year, and we've said we'll increase again. We have one of the best records in the world around the way that we resettle refugees. So for us, it's about maintaining that level of care and support for refugees when they come into New Zealand. So that's something that we've placed emphasis on. We acknowledge, you know, we don't have the same issues around asylum seekers and refugees because we are, of course, quite isolated, but we have a duty of care.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd like to touch on climate change. You mentioned it earlier. 2 years ago, the historic Paris Agreement on climate change came into effect. How is climate change impacting New Zealand, first of all, and how are you taking climate action?
Well, we are members of the Pacific region, and our Pacific neighbours are at the front line of this issue. And it, as I've said many times before, it's not a hypothetical for them. They're already seeing the effects of climate change, whether it's whether or not it's just rising sea levels and the fact that we have children in some parts of the region who are wading their way to school, salt intrusion into water supply, the loss of crops. It's having a huge effect. And we're seeing cyclones, of course, are part of our region, but we're seeing a real ferocity there that we haven't perhaps seen before. For us, it means that it's not an option whether or not we take climate action. We have to. We've done a couple of things. We're embedding in law our climate targets and carbon budgeting. We're setting up a climate commission. We've got a goal of being 100% using 100% renewable energy generation from 2035. We've already started a plan to plant 1 billion trees in 10 years. And when you're a country of roughly 4.5 million people, that is a lot of trees. We are strengthening our emissions trading scheme as well. We're also really at the fore of agricultural research. Roughly half of our emissions profile is from agriculture, and that makes us very unique. But if we manage to innovate, that will be to the benefit of the entire globe.
Yeah, absolutely. Another issue that has been on the agenda this week at the UN General Assembly is the role of young people in international diplomacy and in tackling all of these global issues. We launched a new youth strategy to empower youth and work with and for young people. So what are you doing in New Zealand to make the voices of youth count?
And it's such a good, pertinent question. We're just at the moment working on a child and youth wellbeing strategy in New Zealand. We want to create an agenda that makes New Zealand the best place in the world to be a young person. And one of the things that's come through strongly, we have a children's commissioner. They're essentially an independent advocate and voice for children in New Zealand. They've gone out and started consulting directly with young people. What should this strategy look like? And so we try and embed that voice into the work that we do really directly. And I read all of the feedback that has initially come through, and I'll keep doing that, because unless we're answering their call, then really we're designing a strategy for ourselves. So that's at least one thing that we're working hard on.
And of course, being out there on social media and engaging with people on social is a good
absolutely.
Way of hearing the voices of youth.
Absolutely. So, you know, we do our best to stay available. And, you know, one thing we have in New Zealand, you know, our politicians are very accessible. And I'd spend a lot of time visiting schools and doing as much as I can to make sure that I hear those voices directly.
So before we wrap up, I do have to ask you about the other star of the UN General Assembly, your daughter,
yes.
Your three-month-old,
yes.
Who you brought with you from across the other side of the world.
Yes.
I know that having a three-month-old is emotionally and physically exhausting.
Yes.
So I think you are a hero to many for managing to do all these events with her in tow.
Yes.
But what policies can be put in place to support working parents? Because there are parents out there in all fields of work who really struggle with
yeah.
trying to balance raising kids and having a successful career.
Absolutely.
So what can be done, and what are you doing in New Zealand?
Yeah, well, look, if I can speak from a New Zealand perspective, you know, so much of what I've been able to do has been because I've had support around me. A lot of families, though, we have to acknowledge, don't feel like they have those choices. And a lot of that comes down to that financial security. So a couple of things we've done already. We've increased paid parental leave in New Zealand to 26 weeks. It's being rolled out over the next couple of years. We've also increased the tax credit payments that go to low and middle income families, so they get greater support when they have children. And one of those payments is a universal payment for year one. And that for us is an acknowledgement that actually when your children are young, there are greater demands on you as a family. And we want you to be able to have choices, whether or not to be a full-time caregiver or to be in work and care. We want that to be up to ultimately parents.